And we are going to try, the first thing we're going to try is to connect the end of the Torah, where it says, Lein Echol Yisrael, the end of Azoy Sabrocha to Bereshis. And it says, Lein Echol Yisrael, Rasha brings down, that Sheshavar Es HaLuchas, that he broke the Luchas, and it's brought down in Sefer Leket Yosef, that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, that because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, therefore he couldn't get into Eretz Yisrael. So that's a question, what is Mida Keneged Mida, why is exactly, what's the comparison one to the other? That's the number one question. And the second question they ask is why there's a contradiction in the Talmud. The Talmud brings down Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph that Hashem is Baruch actually agreed to what Moshe Rabbeinu did, because it says Saruchas Asher Shibarto, the Luchas that you broke, and it's written in the word Asher, and Asher comes from the word Ashrei, praise. So Omer Shlokas, Rashi Shlokas says Yesher Korecha Shibarto, that thank you very much that you broke it. Hashem is actually telling Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you very much that you broke it. So the question becomes, if that is so, then how come was he punished that because of the Shviras Haluchas, therefore he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael? So the Zohar brings down that because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, the Zohar is in this parsha, Daf Chovov, brings down that because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, therefore the Jews weren't not Zoyche because of the Egel, therefore it caused the loss of the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. Because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, therefore it caused that the first Beis Hamikdash and second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And it's also written in Megillas, in Sefer Megala Mikos, it's written that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, I mentioned that a couple times, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, then the Beis Hamikdash would not be destroyed. Because the Gemara brings down Masechta Soita Daf Tes Omed Alef, that Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, whatever they did was never that the enemies could never rule over. That's why the Mishkan actually was hidden and it wasn't destroyed. So it comes out that because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, and since his cause caused the Samigdash to be Chorev, so automatically he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, because if he would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, then the Beis Hamikdash would not be Chorev. It's also written down in Medrash Eicha, Echo Rabo, Perik Dalet, Yudalet, it's written down that Hashem gave his wrath over the bones and over the stones and bricks, and he did not give his wrath by the destruction of the temple over the people. So it comes out that it's a chesed to the Jewish people that Hashem is Baruch destroy the temple, because we are so bad that Hashem, we deserve destruction. So therefore, Hashem, instead of taking his revenge on us, decided to take revenge on the Beis Hamikdash, which is mortar, bricks, and stone. And therefore we were saved. So it comes out, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem could not destroy the temple. Automatically the wrath of Hashem would have to go on the people. So it was a chesed for the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu actually took the Luchas and broke it, even though that caused them not to go into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the connection between the end of the parsha. Because the end of the Torah says, Lein Echol Yisrael, that all the great things that Moshe did in the eyes of the Jewish people, so Rashi brings down Sheshavar Es HaLuchas. And here the Medrash brings down, right here brings down, Medrash Rabba brings down, Omar Rabchiya says, that in the beginning of creation, Tzofa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Beis Hamikdash Bono V'Chorev V'Bono, that he saw the Beis Hamikdash destroyed, rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt. Bereishis Bara Elohim that when the Bereshis Bara Elokim means Hashem, there is a Mikdash, is built. The world was empty, it was darkness, empty, astonishingly empty. That's Charub. And then Vayom Elokim Yoyer, that Hashem said should be light, that's the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. So it comes out during the beginning of creation, Hashem already saw the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. So therefore, that's the connection between the beginning of Parsha, Ein Echal Yisrael, and Bereishis, that because Moshe Rabbeinu caused the Luchas to be broken, therefore the Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, therefore Bereishis Bar Elokim, during the beginning of creation, Hashem is Baruch Hu saw the Beis HaMikdash Chorev. So that's how you want to make the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. Another word is written on Bereishis Bara Elokim, that the Torah Shebichsav, it starts with Bereishis. Torah Shebaopeh starts with Me'emosai, the first brachas, the first daf and brachas, which is the first portion of the oral law that we have. It starts Me'emosai, from when on. So the initial is V'dibarta Bom, base mem. So they say V'dibarta Bom, you should speak in them, which means to say you should speak in the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaopeh. V'dibarta Bom we say by the Shema. So that means to say that you should speak in them, in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaopeh. The word Bereishis makes a lot of words. One, Bereishis is Shabbos Yirei, have fair Shabbos. The other one, Bereishis, the Gemara brings down, Barashit, that's the day that Hashem actually created the bottom of the David HaMelech. Actually, the Shittim with the Beis HaMikdash was only the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rabbeinu B'chaya brings down, Bereishis is also Beroish Tafyut, that in the first Beis HaMikdash will be 410 years. So that's everything alluded in the word Bereishis, that everything before, like the Gemara brings down in Pesachim, Dafnun Dalat, that the Beis HaMikdash was created before the heavens and earth were created. So, therefore, it's a Bereishis Bara before creation is written Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's written also, we know that Rosh Devarach Emes, that they say that the first words of Hashem were Emes, and actually bring that Bereishis Bara Elokim, the last letters of Bereishis Bara Elokim, is Emes. So they bring very interesting that Emes is an acronym, Anoichi, Me'emosai, and Tana. That Anoichi, Hashem Elokecha, the Ten Commandments. Me'emosai is the first, like I mentioned, is the first of the Ten Commandments starts with Anoichi, I'm your God, I'm God your God, starts with Aleph, and the Torah Shebaopeh, the Mishnah starts with Emosai, and the first Gemara starts with Atov. So Rosh Devarach, the first of your words is Emes, is the truth. So comes Aleph, Anoichi, Emosai, and Tana Echekoa, the first letter of the Gemara, is Tana, where the Tana is, where is. I saw from Chassan Sofer a very interesting word in the word Gemara, just talking about Gemara, that Gemara, it brings down somewhere, I think it brings down on the end of Zayis HaBracha, I'm not sure. So it brings down that Gemara is an acronym for all the four angels that protect us. Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel. So we have all these four angels that protect us from all sides. So if you learn Gemara, you are protected from all sides. So it's a nice word, Bereishis Bara Elokim, that in the beginning Hashem created the world, and the world is empty. So I saw that it's written from Rav Chanoch Alexander, if a person gives mind that Bereishis Bara Elokim, that God in heaven is created by Hashem, then he will know automatically that the world is empty, there is nothing in the world. There is no reason for the world, and everything is emptiness. I'm going to skip a little bit to the I'm going to skip a little bit to the fact that we had Benas Odom, which is in Artscroll, page 8, and it's the first Pasuk, number 26, Stone edition of Artscroll, it's page 8, 26. So, that there it's kind of very interesting that says Nase Odom, and Rashi says in the plural, which let us make man, and everybody asks a question, what does it mean, let us make man, whom is God talking to? And they explain that Hashem is showing humility, that a person, even though a person has the power to do everything, he should still consult with somebody that's lower to him, even though you're a CEO. If you are a CEO of a company, you want to do something, even though you have the power, still you should consult, and then we'll see what they decide, and we'll do something, and then they decide to what to do. So Rabbi Heschel brings down that the saying that says that Kolam is Goy, Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah, that anybody that is haughty is considered like he did Avodah Zarah. So he brings down that the idea being, why is that so? That because since you're haughty, that means you believe you don't have to consult anybody. Then comes out that according to you, the Pasuk Nase Odom, God is asking somebody else. Who is God asking? If you are haughty, you don't have to consult. Then God is asking a different power. Then you're going to come to think that Nase Odom is actually a different power. Therefore he says, Kolam is Goy. Anybody who is haughty, Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah, is considered like he did Avodah Zarah. The interesting medrash here, Benas Odom, the medrash brings down, Omar Rab Simon says, B'shah, Shabbat Kodesh Baruch Hu, Livro Yatsodom, when God wanted to create man, Adam Rishon Chesed Oimer, Chesed says, Ibore should be created, Shegomer Chesodim, because he does Chesed. Emma says, a Livro should not be created, Shekula Shkoim, that they're all liars. So we have one side, God asks the one attribute, the kindness. He says, let be created. Kindness says, yeah, let be created, because he will do kindness. So truth says, let him not be as truth. The other side says, was the other side? Says, truth says, let him not be created, because he's an old liar. And then Hashem went and asks Tzedek. So he says, tzedek, which is charity. So he says, yes, let him be created, choice tzedakas, because he does righteous things, he does charities and all the stuff. Shalom, he goes as Shalom. Omar, he says, loy ikra. Shalom, he says, it should not be created. Lo ikra, should not be created. Why? Because, shekulek tata. Because man only knows to make machloikas. So what did Hashem do? Hashem took the emes and threw it to the ground. So the question they ask, in other words, there was one. First was one, then was against. It was the second one was Chesed says yes, Shalom says no, Tzedek says yes, emes says no. So what did Hashem do? Took emes and threw it to the ground, and came to Malach Hashem and complained, Hashem, what are you going to do with you're going to leave your seal on the ground? So therefore it brings down that the Pasuk brings down that emes meores titzmach, that emes will be growing from the earth. So I saw a couple of interesting words. First, the question is, why does Hashem throw away the emes? Why didn't he throw away the shalom? The point is, it was two against two, and couldn't decide should he create or not. So therefore, Hashem destroyed, told Emes to go down to the earth, so there was two against one. So why did he tell Shalom to go out and then, if you throw away Shalom, it would still be two against one. Why did he pick specifically Emes to throw down? So one interpretation to bring down is because since Emes says that man is all fights, that is not true. Sometimes he fights, sometimes he doesn't, but Kulek Tata to be able to say a statement that man is completely fight, that's not completely true. And the interpretation brings down from the Kosker Rebbe that to create anything, according to Emes, he wouldn't create anything. So not to create anything, obviously that can be Emes, because how can that be? So Hashem wants to create something. You say no, that they don't create him because he's all stuff. So according to Kotzker Rebbe, it's impossible because since man automatically God says let's create man, so you can't say not to create because that is not emes. Another interpretation I saw is actually a connection with what Satmar Rebbe brings down. He brings down that when Hashem gave the Torah, the whole nation of the world saw the world trembling. So they ran to Bilam, and they asked Bilam what's going on. So Bilam says, don't worry, Hashem is giving the Torah. So Hashem ois l'amo itein. So he says that Bilam says, Hashem ois l'amo itein, Hashem is giving strength to the people. So he blessed them, Hashem yivorech esama b'shalom, that Hashem should bless the Jewish people with shalom. So Satmar Rebbe brings down that shalom requires a compromise. In other words, if you have shalom, that means that we have to compromise, and nobody compromises. It takes away from your religiosity. So he explains that the Hashem yivorech esama b'shalom, that once Hashem gives the Torah, but Hashem will give shalom, so automatically you won't be able to keep the Torah so much. And it could be that's pshat also here, that once you take away the emes, that you can't have shalom. Shalom is a compromise. Compromise means that even when you make a compromise in business, I say you owe me 100, you say you owe me 200, and we settle for 150, that compromise is shalom, but technically that is not emes. Because emes technically is the truth, and the truth is that one of those is right and one of them is not right. So therefore, once he throws down the emes down, then automatically shalom will be shalom. Because if there is no emes, it could be shalom. If it's strictly emes, it can be shalom. Another interpretation brings down that with emes you can't really compromise, and since you can't compromise, that's what they say. They say that emes is never bottled. So even though you're going to have two against one, in other words, if you put down the shalom to the earth, then it will be emes in heaven. So it will be two, chesed, kindness, and tzedek, and righteousness will be on one side. And the other side will be emes, and shalom will be on earth. So he says, emes is never bottled. The truth is never bottled. That's why when the goy came to ask, how come it's written in our Torah, Rav and Lahato, that you have to follow majority, and majority of the world does idol worship. So how come we don't do idol worship? So I answered them, you know, emes cannot be bottled. So we know that it's emes. So therefore, it can never be bottled, and that's why we cannot rely on majority. So therefore, Hashem had no choice. He had to throw emes to the ground. So therefore, shalom could be bottled, because two against one becomes two against one. But if it would be in heaven, two against one against emes, that couldn't have been bottled. I saw from Rabbeinu from Peshischa, it's brought down from Rabbeinu from Peshischa, that the idea also that why did Hashem throw down the emes and kept shalom in heaven, because through shalom we reach the emes. In other words, Rabbeinu Peshischa says that through the shalom, people are in peace. Could opposite what I mentioned before, that through shalom, people get together, they'll find together in harmony, be able to reach the truth. The truth is what people decide is the truth. That's what it brings down. And the Vinerov explains also, he says that the Gemara brings that is brought down in Medrash Rabbah, in Bamidbar, that Shele Barak Kodesh Baruch HaSolomoi, that the God did not create the world, Amanash Shalom B'Abriyos. Only should be peace between people. That only then that each person helps the other one in avoidance of Hashem, and through that it grows. They grow in their religiosity, and God basically created man to know that we all gonna through the right things to do, we're gonna glorify God's name. And it brings down that's why it's also the Torah was created, the Allah, the base. Technically, it should be the Aleph should be the first line of the Torah. So why is Bereshis? Because peace means that you have two things. You make peace between them. That's the base, Bereshis. So the whole world was created with Shalom. And it brings also the matter that we mentioned, that that Bilam, when the Torah was given, she says, Hashem o islam o itain, Hashem yivorech esamoy b'sholom. Hashem got to create Sholom. So Sholom is the most important thing. That's how the world was created. And that's why we also say that Hashem couldn't find Kli machzik brocha elo Sholom. Hashem couldn't find a vessel that holds brocha, only Sholom. And that's why we say also Tamid Chachomim Marvim Sholom ba'olam. That the whole reason for creation basically is because of Sholom. So that's why, since the Holy Spirit is Shalom, so Hashem had to leave Shalom in heaven. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to work. In the end of page number 8, Pasuk number 31, in the end of creation, says, Vayar Elikim, Hashem saw as Kol Asher Asa, everything He did, Vine Toiv Me'oid, and it's very good, Vayarev, there was night, Vayvoker, there was morning, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, and then we go, Vayichul HaShamayim V'oretz, and earth and heaven and earth were finished. B'chol tzevom, and that's basically how we start the Kiddush and Shabbos. So there is an interesting Midrash. Midrash brings down that Midrash Rabbah, Vayar Elohim Eskav Sheros, God saw everything is done, V'hineh Toiv, and it's good. Toiv, good, Zu Malachayim, that's the angel of life. Me'oid, but very, very good, very, is Zeh Malachamoves, this is the angel of death. So they ask the question, what's going on? How can it be that Hashem created something like that to be grand of death? So they explain that that if you take normally what Hashem gives you, if you do things normally, it's good. But if you don't, anything you do too much, like the Rambam says, anything is done in excess, in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam brings down that anything that's done in excess, it's bad for you. So that's gonna be your death. So if you want to take the world, God created the gashmis of the world when He was created. So He saw the whole world, which is the land and the fruits and the animals and the trees. And you take too much of this, do you go after the extra, you want them to eat, then you are basically doing about the angel, you're flirting with the angel of death. And also because this medrash is brought down from the Chassam Sofer thing, that the reason that we don't start, we have a rule that any space that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop, we don't stop. And yet when we make Kiddush, we most people have a minhag to start Vayere Vayvoker Yom HaShishi. They say quietly Vayere Vayvoker Yom HaShishi. And the idea is Yom HaShishi is to unify Yom HaShishi, the initials of Yom HaShishi, Vaychul HaShamayim is God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yom is the Yud, HaShish is the Hey, is the Hey, Vayichulu is the Vav, HaShamayim is the Hey, so Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's the reason that we put together the, when we make Kiddush, some people say quietly, Vayare Vayvoker, other people say Yom HaShish, other people say it a little louder, but the idea is that, that because of this, that, to put Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the question is, how can we start in the middle of a pasuk? We can't stop in the middle of a pasuk. We know that anywhere Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop, we can't stop. So it's brought down that since we don't want to start with something bad, and we just mentioned that Toiv Me'oid is Malachamavis, that Me'oid is Malachamavis, so it's not right to start a Kiddush if a pasuk that's talking about death. So therefore, Shalosh and Shuvos Chasam Sofer and Rechaim brings down that that's the reason that we start with Vayer Vayvoker Yom HaShishi. So in Sefer Rigas Aboisim brings down that since we know the famous Yishlokish says that why it says Vayer Vayvoker Yom HaShishi, what does it say, the Hey of the HaShishi? And he says that Hashem made a condition during creation that that if the Jews will receive the Torah in the famous Shishi Sivan, in the day Matan Torah, the 6th of Sivan, that's what the Shlokish says, that then fine. If not, the world will go to destruction. So they bring down that the Pasuk says, Vayer Vayvoker Yom HaShishi, and then Vayichul HaShamayim V'aretz, and the world and the creation was finished. So therefore Yom HaShishi is part of creation. So Yom HaShishi, he says, if you have accepted the sixth day, the sixth of Sivan, then Vayichul HaShamayim V'aretz. So Yom HaShishi it goes backwards, Vayeh Vayvoker, and Yom HaShishi Vayechulu. So that's what the Rogos HaBoisim example, that's where we start from the Yom HaShishi, and not from other places. Right afterwards, we have the idea, the first, that Hashem actually put man into the garden, and he put man to the garden to work it, and la'avdo la'shamra. So he put man in the garden. It's pasuk page 12. Vayikach Hashem afim az Adam, v'nechir b'gan Eden la'avdo la'shamra, to work it and to keep it. So they explained that Hashem gave him a positive commandments and negative commandments. Hashem says that eat from all the trees you may eat. There's a positive commandment, so you should eat maybe. And then the negative commandment is from the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, don't eat. So that's what the negative commandment, so l'avdu l'shamra, is a positive commandment, and it says the day you're going to eat, you will surely die. So we know that the famous question that we know he didn't die. So some say that you were immortal until now. Once you eat from the tree fruit of knowledge, you become mortal. That means mois tumas. And some say that the explanation is that the day you will eat, you will surely die. And it's written in Tehillim that kilef shonim benecho kiyom esmoil, that 1,000 years is like a yesterday. So we see that God's day is 1,000 years. And in fact, Adam Rishon lived 930. And the message brings down that you're supposed to live 1,000. But he gave 70 years from his life, he gave to David HaMelech. That's why they bring down the Medayek, that by here it's written that the days of the life, if you go back to where the days are mentioned, it says that there were the days of Ashachai, Pasuk page 24, Pasuk number 5, Vayi kol yomei Adam Ashachai, there was all the days of Adam that he lived, 930 years. And in the other ones, if you take a look at the other ones, it's out of the norm. That one says all the days of Shais were this. Here, all of a sudden, it says Asher Chai, that he lived. And another place is written also the word Asher Chai is brought down. That's in the end of Chai Sarah. It's written by Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu is also, those are the days of the life, Asher Chai, that he lived. It's on page 120, Ve'eli Yemei Shnei Chai Avram, this is the pasuk number 7. Ve'eli Yemei Shnei Chai Avram Asher Chai, the days of Avram that he lived, 175. So it's brought down that all these ideas that's written Asher Chai is when a person didn't live his full life, they're supposed to live longer, and he didn't live his full life, then you write down Asher Chai. That Adam Rishon was supposed to live 1,000 years, but he gave 7 years to David HaMelech according to the Midrash. So therefore he lived 930. So therefore Asher Chai lived, supposed to live longer. But the day that he lived was 930. And it's brought down that Avraham Avinu was supposed to live also 180 years. But since Hashem had promised him that you will die, but save Atoiv and good old age. And Hashem didn't want that Avraham should see his grandchild Esav acting badly, or publicly, acting publicly badly. So therefore Hashem took away 5 years from his life, and he made him die at age 175. So therefore there also is written Asher Chai on the day that he lived. On the previous pasuk which says Vayikach Hashem Elokim, pasuk number 15, Hashem took as Adam man v'nichir b'gan Eden, he put him in Gan Eden. So there is an interesting Medeshava says Vayikach, he took him. Rab Nachem Yoimer Pito Iso, that he convinced her to come, כמו שנאמר, קחו עמכם דברים ושבו להשם. Take words, take a few words and go back to Hashem. Yeah, that's what I'll say, that Shabbat Shuvah, we read this. So they explained, so in other words, the normal interpretation is that he took him, he didn't take him physically, he took him with words. coming to Gan Eden. So they explain, so why did Rav Nechemia specifically take this pasuk? There's another psukim that says that he took a word. So they explain that Adam HaRishon didn't want to go into Gan Eden because he realized that out of going to the Gan Eden, he'll end up messing up. And he didn't want to go in. He says, you know, why should I go in? I won't be able, even though he didn't see perfectly, but it gets written that his mazel sees. So therefore he was afraid to get in into Gan Eden. Maybe he's going to mess up. So Hashem told them that about tshuva. He says, don't worry, even if you mess up, you'll be able to do tshuva. So therefore, that's what it means to say, that chimachem dvarim took so the tshuva of Hashem, the true. You may matter now that Hashem says that now he ate from the fruit of life, now, from the fruit of knowledge, now he'll come to eat the fruit of tree, that v'atom means he makes tshuva, so actually Hashem actually showed them tshuva. So the pasuk continues, that Hashem says that, pasuk number 18. Vema Hashem, Hashem says, Loi toi veyoise odom levadoi. It's not good for man to be alone. Eselo is a connector. I'll make a mate for him. And it says that Hashem took him. Vayivin Hashem, pasuk number 14, number 22. Hashem built, or as a tzela, machlok is a gemara if it actually built from the rib, or he actually, the machlok is if man was created, du partzifim, two faces. In other words, in one body, like a Siamese body, that the front had one face, the back had one face, and Hashem split it up, or Hashem actually took a part of the man and made it and formed it a woman. So the question that is brought down that when Chasam Sofer was a young boy, they asked him a question. We know that Kedushin requires to have two witnesses, and Ben Adam brought Eve. There wasn't even one witness. So what's going on? How is it possible not to have a single witness? So the Chasam Sofer explained that how do we learn that a person is Kedushin? Because it says Kedushin is a Kenyan. We learned from business. And so the Gemara asked a question. Maybe a person, the same way business, a person admits he owes something. So it's okay. So therefore if a man admits that he is married, maybe should be okay. So the Gemara says, no, when a person admits he owes something, nobody else loses. He is losing himself. But nobody else loses. But when a person admits that nobody else loses. But here by Kedushin, by him admitting that he's married, he loses because his relatives now aren't allowed to marry the relatives of the wife. Or the relatives of the wives aren't allowed to marry your relatives. In other words, the sister loses, the brother, the father loses. So therefore, by you admitting marriage, you can't impose hardship on anybody else. So therefore, it's inadmissible. So Chasam Sofer says, wait a minute, here Adam and Chava alone. So Adam and Chava alone. So even if they admit, they're not causing harm to anybody else because they are alone. So therefore, their admission is enough for Kedushin. So we don't require two witnesses. We only require two witnesses because we can't cause hardship for somebody else. But here, there's no hardship for somebody else because they themselves are admitting it. So therefore, we don't have to worry about it. So afterwards, we know that that woman says the Nachash came and spoke to Chava. The Nachash brings down the chapter. The Nachash was Orom, was naked from all the, was Orom was smarter, or Orom was naked. Different interpretations. And, that's Pasuk number 1, chapter 3. And that's an article, page 14. V'Nachash Orom Oim Kol Chai Zasada, Asherasa Shem Aloikim. V'Yoimer, he says Elisha, and he says to the woman, even though Hashem says so, that the Hashem tell you not to touch from the fruit of the tree? So he says yes. So there's a question, who was this snake that spoke to Chava? So the heaven has her answer right down, that the woman understood the highest, the same way Shlomo Melech understood the language from all the same way Shlomo Melech understood the language from all the animals, so too the woman understand the snakes. Yeah? And some wants to say, Achayim wants to say that this is the Satan. In the name of Rav Sadia Goya, in the name of Rav Sadia Goya, is brought down that that even though we know that there is no other people that know how to speak, there's no knowledge for the people, only in human beings, but the Malach is the one who spoke. So the Avnezer doesn't like that. The Avnezer says, how is it possible for Malach to limro as Espi Hashem, to go against Hashem's word? And if that is so, why did he get the punishment? And if that was the Satan, what kind of curse is Agochoyin Chotelech? Curses should go on you should not have a legs and go on your leg. So therefore, the Ebenezer brings down that the Nachash actually was speaking, was walking like a man, and the same person that put Hashem, that put knowledge in man, so put all knowledge in the snake. The Radak doesn't agree with that, can't believe that. He says, if that is so, during creation, Hashem should have separated the snake from man, but yet we see that Hashem did not separate them. The same way he separated man from the animals, should separate it. If the Nachash had more than the snake, should have separated also when he cursed them, he should have cursed that he shouldn't speak anymore. But Vedas Techasa should have cursed that he shouldn't have any more brains. Because this is the biggest curse, if that is true, that the snake had brains. So therefore it brings down that the whole idea of the Nachash was idea to test woman. It was a miracle, it was a manifest from Hashem, and it was made specifically to test Chava. It's brought down Pasuk Gimel, the woman said to the snake, Hashem said we could eat from all the trees of the garden, but from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, don't eat from it, do not touch it, maybe you will die, lest you die. So the Gemara Sanhedrin brings down, how do I know that anybody that adds something, in other words, you have mitzvahs, but anybody adds to mitzvah, sometimes it causes people to do less. Shenemar, because written, that Hashem said, do not eat it, do not touch it. So the pshat is that Hashem actually said only do not eat it, but it was added, she added, do not touch it. So therefore, we see that because she touched it, the matter brings down that the snake pushed her against the tree, and she touched the tree, and all of a sudden she realized that she survived, and therefore she ate from the tree. So the fact that she had the touching, and therefore she ended up transgressing the real commandment of not eating it. So the question they ask is, first of all, if she herself added, then she knew that makes a big difference between touching and eating. So what she do? So the answer they give is that Adam Arishon told her not to touch it. So the question they ask is, why did Adam Arishon decide to give an extra level of protection for Chava? So they answer a couple different answers. Well, one answer they bring down is that that we know that normally things that are prohibited to eating, we just don't eat it. But all of a sudden comes Pesach, where we are allowed to eat everything, but we're not allowed to eat chametz. We have a prohibition even to touch chametz, even though the prohibition is not to have an oil, but touching is not a prohibition. So there's a prohibition to touch chametz in Pesach. So the same thing he says, since Hashem says we could eat all the trees of the garden, but we can't eat this tree. So therefore, obviously we have to make a little extra protection around it and not touch it. So according to this, very good. So why was she punished? Why, how did Gemara say that she was added? He had the right to add. So the answer they give down, no. The third Tamina brings down that it was actually a mistake. Because Chometz the Pesach, the reason you're allowed to touch it, because since it was permissible to you to eat that Chometz before Pesach, this Chometz itself was permissible for you to eat. But after Pesach, becomes prohibited, so therefore you can't touch it. But this fruit, the fruit of knowledge, the Eitz HaDaas, it was never permitted. So therefore you don't have to make a protection against it. The Nevela, that we never eat Nevela, it's not prohibited from touching. So, you know, even though you can't eat it, so because it's, since it's never, it's always prohibited, so therefore you're not required. So since you're married, the extra protection step, therefore we say, kol ha-moisif goyreya. Rashi on the Pasuk, loy moisif musun, that the Pasuk says, that the snake says, the serpent says, Pasuk number 4, v'manoch ha-shvurish, loy moisif musun, no, you won't die, Rashi brings down, doch vo ha-chunah goboy, that Rabbi Asko brings it down, so Pasuk number 3, 4, that the snake pushed Chava until she touched the tree. Amala, she told her, "Peshem shemisu benagia, kachem misu b'achila." The same way, there's no death by touching, so there's no death by eating. So the question to ask is: first of all, how do you know? How did Chava know that there is no death by touching it? Hashem says, "The day that you eat, you'll die. The day hasn't gone over yet." So the answer is, Moshe answered that, no, you don't understand. He said, if you're going to die for touching, then it's too late. Might as well eat it already. And if there's no death by touching, then automatically there is no death by eating. So therefore you could go ahead and do it. So he tried to get woman, Chava, to convince her from both sides of the field. Memunafshach, it works. Regardless of what it is, Memunafshach, it will work. All of a sudden, it's hit the Pasuk number 6, the Vatiru Isha, the woman saw, it toiv awaits the machol, that the fruit is good to eat, v'chisavu ilenayim, and that's pleasant for the eyes, v'nachmad awaits la'askil, and the tree is good to get brains, v'atikach v'pirio, she took from its fruit, v'atoichal, and she ate. She also gave to the husband with her and ate. So they explain that in this head of the Chava, all four senses, four of the five senses got corrupted. That the sense of speech God that she says that she ate, that or some say that she said she added the little boy, and the hearing that she listened to the snake, the saw that she saw that the tree is good to eat, and that she took it. But Tikach Mepir, she took it with her hand, that she touched it, the sense of touch. The only sense she didn't corrupt is the sense of smell. Therefore, every time it's a carbon, so it's written, Reach Nichoyach Hashem. And some explain that that's the reason that Matzah Shabbos, we send Besamim, because that's the only thing that wasn't corrupted by Chava. And also they say that the besamim is the food of the neshama, so therefore that's why we smell the besamim. And could be that's a connection. Also they say that the reason it wasn't corrupted is because it was so strong that it's written that the whole spirit, v'ifach ba'apav, of that man, Hashem blew in his nostrils a spirit of life. So since it was the channel that Hashem made himself clearly brought life through it, so that vehicle or that conduit, which was smell, could not, which was a nose, which was smell, could not be corrupted. And Rashi brings down that she gave to Chava and she ate. Why? Sheloi Tomus Ho v'yichel, that he shouldn't leave and marry somebody else. V'yisacheres, and married somebody else. So I saw also that, first of all, did Rashi know that? So they explained that the word ima is extra. But it and Gamli Isha could be written in the order that he also gave to her husband an eight, what's mean ima, with her. So it says because she wanted him to be with her. So there's a couple of questions here, and all of a sudden man came down, and then Vayomer Hashem, I'm skipping to Pasuk number 13 because it's getting late. So Vayomer Hashem Alekim Ro Isha, Hashem told to Chava, Mazo is a sis, sorry, Vayomer Adam, that excuse that man gives, Oisha Shenosati Modi, the woman that you gave me, he nostali manoes, she gave me from the tree Boricha and I ate. So they explained that Adam Rishon was ungrateful, the couple of different excuses that he gives. So first of all, the message brings down Voichal, doesn't say Vahalti, I ate, says Voichal and I will eat. I ate and I will eat. So they ask the question, how can it be so chutzpadik? The Almadoration is gonna speak so chutzpadik to Hashem that not only did something wrong, but he's still going to eat. So what's a nice answer? That Adam Rishon thought that originally when Hashem says, do not eat from the fruit of the tree, he's telling you, giving advice, like a doctor says, don't eat this fruit because this fruit is going to be too bad for you. So therefore he decided that he's going to eat from the fruit of knowledge, and now he's going to eat from the fruit of life. So that's a question. The Racham actually has a question, how come he didn't eat from the fruit of life first, and then he would have been okay. So he explains that two different expressions. Racham actually explains that man wasn't so cunning yet. Once he got from the fruit of tree knowledge, he got cunning, and then maybe he'll eat from the fruit of tree of life. I'm sorry. That man wasn't cunning to eat from the fruit of life first. He got cunning after he decided to eat from the fruit of knowledge. He decided to eat from, he's going to go eat from the fruit of tree. That's a nice interpretation, that since the Ramban explains that before the sin, man was immortal. So he had no necessity to eat from the fruit of life, because he's immortal anyways. So he has no reason to eat the fruit of life first. Now, after he eats from the fruit of knowledge, he becomes mortal, then he goes ahead and goes from the fruit of tree, fruit of life, that to become immortal. But until now, until he makes a sin, he's immortal anyways. So therefore, he had no reason to eat from the fruit of life. So the question is, why mean va'oichal? So I saw a nice interpretation, that since the halacha is that for kashrus, that the husband could rely on the wife for kashrus. So you're saying, wait a minute, why are you complaining for me for kashrus? The woman that you gave me, she gave me, and I'll eat, and she gives me again food, I will eat too. The only problem is that he knew that it was a bad food. When do we say that you could rely on women for kashrus, and when you know it's, you don't know for sure, then you could rely for kashrus, but here you knew, so that was the problem, that excuse didn't go. But technically, if the woman gives you something, your wife gives you something, you don't have to check to see if it's kosher and double check for her to see if it's kosher. She has a cheskes kashrus. Specifically, if Hashem gave her a woman, for sure she has a cheskes kashrus. But when you know for sure it's not good, then there's no cheskes kashrus that could work. That's one answer. The Baal Torah actually brings down that she gave me no eitz v'oichal, that it was the first case of husband abuse. That she gave me from the tree. She beat me up so much until I ate. So that means until I ate, and if she's going to continue to beating me, I'll continue to eat. So therefore he claimed it wasn't my fault. So then technically what was his fault? That obviously he was stronger than her. So he should have either stopped her from beating him, or make sure that it goes okay, that they both don't get beaten. In the curse that the snake got, he says, "Ve'eva oshis bencha ve'enorisha," put hatred between you and the woman and the women. So the question the Gemara brings down in Soita brings down, why is that? So the Gemara brings down the Gemara in Soita daf tes. Interesting Gemara. He nostar eina b'misha asota, is somebody who cheats on her husband, and she's tested. So Soita he nostar eina b'masha in shaloi. So that he wanted to do something, she wanted to do something that wasn't her. So Masha Bikshon Litala, what she wanted wasn't done to her. Masha Biyada, her marriage, not Leimenu, was taken away from her. And the Gemara says, "V'chemotzino itzel nachash akadmoni," that we see in the snake that she tried to convince Chava to eat from the fruit, and she says that I will kill man. And the answer is Chava, and now would marry Chava. Therefore, the proposal is down, Ve'ivashi. So it brings down the intention of the snake was to kill Adam by having Adam eat from the fruit, to kill Adam and then marry Chava. So the question is, wait a minute, who ate first from the tree? Chava. So how can you expect that Chava will survive? Both will die. So it's brought down from the Shari Mishpat. That brought down that the Gemara Yomer says that Shaul made one sin. Shaul Yomer Daf Chav Beis. Shaul made one sin. Ba'achaz Ba'osloi. Hashem forgave him. And David Bishtaim. David made two sins. Ve'loi Osloi. And Hashem did not forgive him. So what's the sin of Shaul? Shaul was the sin of Agag, a Machias Amalek, that Hashem told him to destroy Amalek. That Shmuel told him to destroy Amalek and didn't do it. And David did two sins. Which two sins was? One sin, Gemara brings down, was Uriah, that he sent Uriah to the front. And the second one, that he counted the Jews. He wasn't supposed to count the Jews. So they ask a question, why is it the fact that Hashem forgave for David, both sins, and Hashem didn't forgive for Shaul one sin. So it's brought down that the reason is because Shaul's sin was a very particular sin that only applies to him. He was the only guy who could do it. But the first king of Israel was supposed to destroy Amalek. So he's the first person that should do it, and if he didn't do it, Mamalia was mevatel completely the mitzvah. But David HaMelech, you know, the David HaMelech mitzvah that the other people could do the mitzvahs. He wasn't mevatel. Himself was mevatel, that's why he... But through tshuva, that works. If you mevatel yourself, through tshuva, it works. As long as there's somebody else to continue doing the mitzvah is not completely annulled, so it still works. But here, by Shaul, since Shaul was the one that couldn't do it, so therefore it didn't work. So the snake knew that there's such a thing as tshuva, because it says that tshuva was created before the world. So the snake figured like that, that if Chava would sin, that still she could do tshuva, because her, the mitzvah not to eat from the fruit of the tree, did not completely disappear. Why didn't it completely disappear? Because there is still Adam to eat from the fruit. So therefore, he figured that she's like taking some part of the mitzvah, but tshuva for her will work. But all of a sudden, if Adam eats from the tree, now Adam is going to be the last person available to make the mitzvah. And if he doesn't make the mitzvah, then he thought that tshuva won't work. Then Hashem will have to kill him. So therefore, that was the idea. He's going to give to Chava to eat. Chava is going to eat first. And then she's going to do tshuva, but still, since there is Adam to eat, still there is the tshuva works. But after Adam eats, he's the last person to eat. So he's the same category as Shaul was when he didn't kill a god. So therefore, at that time, his tshuva won't work. So therefore, he's required. He'll be killed. This, unfortunately, we, because of what we did, we got a curse, Bezeich, Sapecha, Techa, Lechem, that we should eat in the sweat of our brow, that's on Pasuk. On Pasuk number 19, Bezeich, Sapecha, Techa, Lechem, Ad Shufcha Adam, until you go back to the earth. So I saw a nice word that it goes that you have to break the pasuk in the middle. That you should work in the seat of a brow until you make tshuva completely. And after you make tshuva, then you'll be restored to the same level as you were. And Hashem should help that everything that we should be restored and we should all have panos berevach. And this new year should be a year that Moshiach will come, like it's written. It should be a year that Hashem should bless the Jews, Yer Chaim Yeshuv Rachmim, which is the American value of Tovshin Samar Gimel. And we should all be B'Shalva V'Hashket, we should also do America of Tovshin Samar Gimel, and Hashem should make voice of Shalom, the same reason that the angels were fighting about that Shalom was able to stay in heaven, because Shalom is the most important thing, so Hashem should put Shalom between us, and Shalom Yisrael, and Shalom from our enemies, and we should see Mashiach b'mehru yameinu. Amen.